This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
Welcome to today's deep dive. Our mission today is to really try to make sense of this massive, I mean, incredibly rapid shift that's happening across the global tech landscape right now.
Yeah, it is. It's moving incredibly fast.
It really is. We're unpacking how artificial intelligence, robotics, and semiconductors are just entirely reshaping international geopolitics, local economies, everything, really.
Right. And to do that, we are drawing on a really fascinating foundational report and some incredibly detailed commentary provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim, a former lawmaker.
Yeah, the data in this briefing paints a very vivid picture. It's basically a world that is splitting into two completely distinct technological ecosystems.
And, understanding that split requires us to fundamentally rethink how we even view the world map.
Right, because we are so used to boundaries being these strict physical things, like you cross a line on a map, you hand over a passport, a guard stamps it, and you're officially in a different system.
Exactly, it's clear cut. You are either here or you are there.
Which is comforting, I mean, in a way. We like rules to be geographically bound.
We do, but when you step into the world of AI and, next generation hardware in 2026, that physical map is completely useless.
It really is.
We are looking at a tech landscape that is totally invisible and, frankly, deeply fractured.
Okay, let's unpack this because the sources for today's deep dive read like a modern techno thriller.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've got a massive Chinese AI model, a hidden server rack sitting somewhere in Thailand, and a record-breaking robotic dog IPO.
That's wild.
And somehow, all of these invisible threads are weaving together to change the technology you're going to be using tomorrow.
People throw the term digital Cold War around a lot. But this is the absolute definition of it.
Yeah.
The front lines aren't physical borders anymore. They are cloud computing networks and semiconductor supply chains.
Right. And the most immediate flashpoint we're seeing is at the software layer, isn't it?
Right.
Where intellectual property is essentially a geopolitical weapon now.
Definitely. The big news here centers around Moonshot AI and the release of their brand new model, the Kimi K3.
Right, the Kimi K3. The report notes this is the largest open weight model to date. It's boasting 2.8 trillion parameters and a context window of 1 million tokens.
Which is just staggering.
It is. Just to translate that for you for a second, parameters are essentially the variables, like the dials the AI uses to make decisions.
Yeah, the brain power.
Right. And the context window is how much information it can hold in its short-term memory at one time. So a million tokens means you could feed it a stack of entire books in one single prompt.
And it wouldn't forget the beginning by the time it reached the end.
Exactly.
And the scale of Kimi K3 is exactly why this is causing such a panic in Washington right now. I mean, they are scheduled to release its full weights, which is the actual trained neural network structure, on July 27th.
But the U.S. White House has stepped in with some very heavy accusations about how that model was actually built.
Right. Michael Kratsios, the director of the Office of Science and Technology Policy, he publicly alleged that Moonshot engaged in, quote, industrial-scale distillation of Anthropic's Fable model.
Industrial-scale distillation.
Yeah, and he even accused them of building internal systems specifically to change their access paths. So essentially masking their IP addresses to hide what they were doing.
It's like a heist. And Treasury Secretary Bessent went even further, right? He claimed U.S. LLM watermarks were actually found hidden inside Chinese models.
What's fascinating here is the whole concept of distillation in AI. It's basically a teacher-student dynamic.
Right.
Building a massive AI from scratch requires reading millions of textbooks and spending billions of dollars on computing power to learn the hard way. But distillation is a shortcut.
The student just asks the fully trained teacher AI, so in this case, allegedly Anthropic's Fable, a million complex questions and simply copies the patterns and the answers.
Exactly. The battleground has totally shifted. It's not just about physically stopping microchips at borders anymore. It's about tracking model weights and geographic cloud computing loopholes.
Yeah, to use an analogy, it's like a student not just memorizing the answer key to a test, but sneaking into a restricted library in another country wearing a disguise just to photograph the teacher's master copy.
That is exactly what the U.S. is claiming happened. But, the software copying is only half the story.
Right, because to run those massive models, you need serious computing horsepower. Which brings up the second major claim from the U.S., this hardware loophole.
The Thai server mystery.
Yeah, the U.S. claims Moonshot completely bypassed export controls by accessing banned NVIDIA GB300 chips. And those chips were physically sitting on servers located in Thailand.
Which totally upends the traditional idea of an export control. Historically, you stop a physical good at a physical border.
Right, customs agents and shipping containers.
Exactly. But if you ban a specialized microchip from entering a specific country, well, you haven't stopped a developer in that country from just logging into a server in Thailand and renting that chip's computing power over the open internet.
It makes the physical location of the silicon basically irrelevant.
As long as the network access is unrestricted, yeah.
So if the front door to U.S. chips is locked via export controls and this cloud computing backdoor through places like Thailand is actively being sanctioned, well, China is basically responding by rapidly funding and building its own silicon ecosystem.
They have to. But semiconductor manufacturing is notoriously difficult and incredibly cash intensive.
Oh, massively.
It requires a staggering amount of capital, which is exactly what we are seeing flood the market right now.
Yeah, the upcoming IPO of Changsun Technology, or CXMT, on the STAR Market on July 27th is huge.
Massive. Valued at 579.2 billion yuan, which is roughly 85.5 billion US dollars.
With a share price set at 8.66 yuan. And the crazy part is it was massively oversubscribed, like 570 times by the institutions.
Right, 570 times. It's the largest A-share semiconductor IPO in history.
And CXMT isn't some small startup. They are the world's fourth largest DRAM maker, China's only fully integrated DRAM manufacturer.
But can they really compete with the big dogs without top-tier NVIDIA chips?
Well, according to the commentary from lawyer Kung Jin Kim, that 570 times oversubscription shows the sheer volume of capital backing this hardware self-reliant.
Right. They might not beat top-tier high-bandwidth memory right away.
Exactly. But they could flood the general DRAM market. And if they do that, they force a massive global price war that will make their competitors have to pivot immediately.
It's an economic wedge strategy. Right. And it's not just memory chips. They are targeting AI processors, too.
Yeah. DeepSeek is in talks for a second funding round at a 480 to 500 billion yuan valuation.
Which is about 71 billion US dollars.
Yeah, aiming to raise another 1.5 billion, and this is just a month after a $7.4 billion round.
They're using all that cash to design their own 7-nanometer inference chips with Sesmic. They want to completely reduce their reliance on NVIDIA and even Huawei.
And their software efficiency is helping with that, right? The V4 Pro and V4 Flash models drastically reduce computing power needs.
By 73% compared to previous versions.
73% is a huge drop.
It's vital because they are engineering their way around the hardware blockade by just making their software radically more efficient.
So with new chips and these highly efficient models in hand, how are these tools actually being delivered to businesses and consumers?
This brings us to the infrastructure shift.
Right, Huawei. At the WAIC 2026 conference, they revealed the Atlas 950 SuperPod.
The specs on this thing are wild. It packs 1,024 chips in 16 cabinets.
And it can scale up to 8,192 chips. DeepSeek's operations specifically verified it, which proves the domestic networking tech is viable.
It's aiming to fill the massive void left by NVIDIA, because NVIDIA pulled out of the Chinese market to focus on its Vera Rubin architecture in the West.
Which dropped NVIDIA's market share in China from 95% in 2023 to just single digits today in 2026.
Total vacuum. But the infrastructure shift isn't just server racks, it's the telecoms too.
Yeah, China's top three telecom companies, Telecom, Mobile, and Unicom, they are totally shifting their business models. Instead of just selling data limits, they are selling subscriptions for AI tokens.
The basic unit of AI text processing. And packages start as low as 9.9 yuan a month.
Here's where it gets really interesting. It's like moving from paying for the water pipe that comes to your house to paying for the exact number of water drops you actually drink.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is a fundamental structural change for telecom revenue globally. The network is now an active participant in generating information.
Yeah, and China's broader infrastructure lead is pushing this, rolling out 5G Advanced to 330 cities.
Which is, analysts say that's 12 to 18 months ahead of the West.
And moving into 6G testing with 40.3% of global patents, they are literally building the high-speed neural pathways for this stuff.
Which naturally brings us to the physical AI layer.
Yeah.
Because AI isn't just staying in software and servers anymore. It is being placed into physical bodies.
Right, humanoid robots. It's sparking a whole new layer of economic and security debates.
Unitree Robotics is the big name here. They had a record-breaking IPO approval in just 104 days.
Aiming for a 42 billion yuan valuation. And the standout fact about Unitree is they are actually profitable.
Yeah, a profitable humanoid robot company is rare.
Very rare. They project a 2025 net profit of 278 million yuan on 1.699 billion yuan in revenue.
And they have competition. Over 400 types of humanoid robots were created in China in just the first half of the year.
Over half the global total? But this physical AI explosion brings massive geopolitical friction.
It really does. The Pentagon actually designated Unitree a Chinese military tech company on June 30th.
And the U.S. House is pushing the JARD Act to ban them entirely.
Wait, they got flagged by the Pentagon and just pivoted to Europe 3 weeks later. That is whiplash speed.
It is. Just 3 weeks later, they expanded into 8 European countries.
This raises an important question for everyone, really. You have to consider the trade-off.
Right, the economic advantage versus the security risk.
Exactly. Securing affordable, cutting-edge physical labor for your factories versus the data security risks of having foreign cameras and sensors literally walking around domestic facilities.
Especially with the security concerns regarding that cloud cell remote backdoor feature.
Yeah, when you combine remote backdoors with China's domestic data sharing laws, the security threat is very tangible.
So we've got software IP battles, domestic chips, network tokens, humanoid robots. All these threads are pulling the world into two distinct technological ecosystems.
Which we will see play out diplomatically very soon. The U.S.-China official bilateral AI talks are coming up in September, led by U.S. Treasury Secretary Bessent.
And China is locking in their strategy. Their Ministry of Industry and Information Technology, the MIIT, has that AI plus software action plan.
Aiming for over 30% AI adoption in major manufacturing.
Plus, their 15th five-year plan mentions AI 52 times.
And it legally mandates 50% domestic chip manufacturing equipment. They are forcing self-reliance.
So we are seeing two rival global AI blocs emerge. The China-led WAISO with 29 countries, and the US-led Paxilica with 35 countries.
Two completely different technological worlds.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? I mean, how does this actually impact daily business?
Well, bringing in the key insight from lawyer Kunjin Kim, he explains that export controls are no longer just about what you buy, but where you compute.
Right.
For global companies, say, those in Korea or anywhere caught between these superpowers, choosing a vendor is now a geopolitical minefield.
Because using an AI model with contested rates, or even just running data through a server in Southeast Asia, could unknowingly trigger secondary sanctions from the U.S.
Exactly. You log in to use a cheap AI tool, and suddenly your company is frozen out of the U.S. financial system.
So to wrap this up, the push for tech self-reliance is fundamentally altering the global market across everything. Software, hardware, physical robotics.
It's all connected.
It is, and it leaves us with this final thought to ponder. If human intelligence is fairly universal, right, but artificial intelligence becomes strictly divided by borders, hardware, and ideology into two entirely separate global ecosystems.
Two different realities, essentially.
Yeah. What happens in 10 years when an AI trained on one side of the world can fundamentally no longer understand the logic or values of an AI trained on the other?
That is a very real possibility. We might be building incompatible forms of machine logic.
Well, something to think about. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep questioning the map.
This program is provided by lawyer Kyungjin Kim.
For more from the same network, follow Daily AI News from Seoul on Apple Podcasts.